Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly.
The films Companion, Wildcat, and The Fishing Place.
I'd like to start today by talking about a movie called Companion, which has been getting glowing reviews from everybody. And I personally think that it's an okay movie, but I would not rush out to see it unless this is exactly the sort of movie that you enjoy the most. Companion is a sort of a horror movie, a sort of a science fiction movie. It's a little bit of both. And it is about a companion. Yes, the title accurately reflects the content of the movie. This companion, we discover fairly soon into the story, is a robot. Two of our main characters are Josh and Iris. And Josh seems like a really nice guy, and Iris seems like a really nice woman. And they are obviously very much in love, and she just wants to be with him and do everything with him. And now they are going off to spend some time at the fabulously luxurious lake house of a friend of Josh's, and whose name is Sergey. And they get there, and Iris, our main female character, is a little bit nervous about this whole thing. She's not sure she's going to get along with these new people and all that. But things seem to go okay for a while, and we get to meet these friends who are there, all young people, all there to have a great time. And Sergey, the owner of this fabulous place, is very much a part of this. And he turns out to be a sort of a shady character. He's apparently Russian, and he apparently is involved in some sort of illegal things. And he says as much. He's made his money here and there and not in respectable ways and so forth and so on. And then not too long into the story again, he actually basically tries to rape Iris, and Iris kills him. So now we have a movie which is really starting to develop some real action. However, and I don't want to give away big spoilers here, but it turns out, again, not too long into the movie, that Iris is not what we thought she was. She is, in fact, a companion. She is a girlfriend, but she is a robot. That's the word that this movie keeps using. I think maybe android would be a better term, but that's what she is. And she has been bought by Josh to be his girlfriend and to be his sex partner and all of that. But now she has killed somebody. She has killed Sergey, who is robots aren't supposed to be able to do that sort of thing. So this is basically the setup for the story itself. And the story itself proceeds from there. And it is full of, well, it's the kind of story that one would call twisty. It is full of twists and turns and surprising digressions and double backs and all kinds of things like that. So it is one of these films where don't watch it unless you want to always be sort of solving the puzzle of what might happen next. And what might happen next always turns out to be not exactly what you thought would happen next. And then there's another great surprise. And, well, it's one of these movies which is full of red herrings and false endings and false twists. And just when you think things are all resolved, some other twist turns up that completely turns everything on its head. So that is what Companion is like. It's a nicely acted movie. Sophie Thatcher does a very nice job of both being the attractive partner to Josh and also turning out to be a robot. And that turns out to have, obviously, its own sort of many, many surprises and twists and turns. Jack Quaid is very good as Josh. All the characters are very likable. All the actors are very likable. We also have Lucas Gage as a character named Patrick, and Megan Suri, who is really gorgeous, as a character named Kat. Rupert Friend is very good as the somewhat ominous Sergey. And there are some other people who float around the story as well, including some who come in very late in the game. So again, Companion is basically a science fiction movie, but it's a science fiction movie that with its violence turns over toward horror. The violence sometimes results in a lot of blood. There's a whole portion of the movie where Iris is walking around totally covered in blood from head to foot. But it's really not that violent a film. It's maybe much more a movie about this idea of always taking you by surprise and straining very hard to take you by surprise and sometimes succeeding in that. But there are other times when I sort of wanted to throw up my hands and say, oh my gosh, another surprise. That's not surprising because now I'm accustomed to expecting surprises every few minutes in this movie. So yes, another surprise. Ho hum. So again, Companion has been getting rave reviews all over the place, and apparently to a lot of people it's just really, really exactly the kind of thing they want to see. And I will grant that it held my attention throughout, and it's a reasonably entertaining movie. But to return to my main point about it, well, when you have this many surprises, this many twists, this many turns, after a while, I personally start to say, ho-hum, I've had enough. Let's move on from here. Fortunately, Companion is not that long a movie, a little over an hour and a half. So if you want sort of a good time that doesn't make you work too hard, then maybe Companion is the movie for you. It's a nice little film, but nothing really special, I would say. Now for something completely different, Wildcat. Another movie with a one-word title. And this is a movie directed by Ethan Hawke. Ethan Hawke, of course, being a real heartthrob, a real major movie star, a real major player in today's movie scene. He's also a director, and he's made a number of films. I think he is known for his documentaries. In this case, though, it is a fiction film, but it is a fiction film based on real life. And it's, again, a movie with quite a number of its own twists and turns. It's called Wildcat for reasons which are never made entirely clear, and it is about the author Flannery O'Connor. I regard Flannery O'Connor as one of the most interesting authors of the 20th century. Her novel Wise Blood is, I think, one of the great novels I have ever read. And if anybody out there listening is not familiar with Flannery O'Connor's novel Wise Blood, I could not recommend it more highly. It is a very, very great masterpiece. She only wrote a couple of novels. The other one, which is called The Violent Bear It Away, is not nearly as interesting in my opinion. Wise Blood is the really great one. She also wrote a lot of stories, and some of them are quite wonderful and marvelous. Anyway, that's who Flannery O'Connor was. She also was a very ill woman. She had lupus. It eventually killed her, and she went through a very large part of her life being very, very sick and infirm with this terrible illness. That said, however, she was a very, very major, a very important, a very fascinating author. And one of the most interesting things about her is that she was profoundly religious. And this movie, Wildcat, gets into that a bit. But it's less interested in her religious nature than it is interested in her nature as an author. And what the movie Wildcat does is sort of alternate between views of O'Connor's life and little scenes reenacted from some of her great stories. Flannery O'Connor is played in the movie by Maya Hawke. Maya Hawke, yes, is the daughter of Ethan Hawke and Uma Thurman, and she's good. She's very good as Flannery O'Connor, not a glamorous character to play. Maya Hawke does a very, very nice job of playing the character. And what we see is Flannery O'Connor during the period when she is writing Wise Blood. And oh my gosh, she's having trouble with her agent. She's having trouble with her publisher. They don't want to let her do exactly the sorts of things that she feels she wants to do in this novel, and they're a little bit skeptical of her writing anyway. And she, of course, is really trying to sustain a career as a writer, and that, you know, it has that sort of thing in it. And then, as I mentioned, the movie constantly veers away from showing Flannery O'Connor during this time of her life to enacting little scenes from some of her stories. And then we have other actors come in, and we have various different things happening, various different little plot lines. We don't have necessarily complete stories. What we have are bits of stories. And so that's a little bit frustrating, but it's very, very interesting approach to kind of depicting the life of Flannery O'Connor. And it does definitely get somewhat into this fact that she was a profoundly religious person, very, very deeply Roman Catholic. And that is at the core of her novel, Wise Blood, which, by the way, was made years ago into a very, very good movie by John Huston. We alternate between seeing Flannery O'Connor and seeing the fruits of some of her writing labors. So that is what Wildcat is about. I mentioned Maya Hawke. She is not a big movie star, but as I said, she is excellent as Flannery O'Connor. The movie does have some pretty familiar names and faces in it. Laura Linney, for example, is in it. She's a terrific actor, and she is just fine in this movie. Steve Zahn is in it, so some people you'll recognize, and then some other people who are not nearly as familiar. What fascinated me about Wildcat was simply the fact that it's about Flannery O'Connor, and it's an interesting, unconventional, offbeat look at both her life and her work. She herself was a very unconventional, unorthodox, offbeat writer, and so the movie is very much in the spirit of her personality and her nature as an author. So that's the reason I really like it. I don't think it's a great, great film, but I think it's on a fascinating subject. And again, I think Maya Hawke here is really, she does a very courageous job of playing an unglamorous character in an unglamorous way. And I think that she really has a future as an actor, and I expect to see a lot more of her on the scene. But what I mainly want to do by talking about Wildcat, which, by the way, can be found streaming if you look hard enough, is that I hope it builds people's interest in Flannery O'Connor. She is really just a tremendously important author. Her life was not nearly as long as it should have been. She went through a lot of travails, some of which this movie really shows us. But my golly, anything that calls more attention to Flannery O'Connor and her absolutely amazing writing, and especially her absolutely amazing novel, Wise Blood, any movie like that is going to be very high in my estimation. Also, the movie gives a very, very interesting and subdued portrait of the travails of a writer. That is just not an easy life. If you're not writing bestsellers, it's really a struggle to keep going. And the movie also gets into that, another worthwhile property of the film Wildcat. Ethan Hawke is a good director, and Wildcat is a very good movie. Finally, I want to talk about a movie which is really unconventional. It's called The Fishing Place, and it was directed by Rob Tregenza, a very, very unusual movie maker. Rob Tregenza is American, but he's done some of his most important work with European filmmakers, such as the Hungarian filmmaker Bellatar, the Swiss-French filmmaker Jean-Luc Godard. Rob Tregenza is a very important cinematographer, and he's only directed a few films over the course of his very long career. The Fishing Place is the very, very latest, and it's a really fascinating movie. There is something which serious movie people have been interested in for the past several years called slow cinema, which is cinema that goes against the grain of the Hollywood fast cutting, always a new shot, always something new to look at, and instead sinks into the environment, sinks into the characters, gives the audience time and space to think, to meditate, to contemplate while you're watching the movie. And The Fishing Place is very much a film of that nature. It is slow cinema, and it is beautiful cinema, and I had a wonderful time watching it, although it is obviously a film which is not for everybody. So here is what The Fishing Place is about. It takes place in Norway during the Nazi occupation, during the World War II years. And here are some of the characters we have. We have an older woman who used to be a famous actor, and now she is old and she is ill, and so she has to hire somebody to come and work for her. The person she hires to come and work for her is a young woman who moves into her home and is just sort of her general maid and serving person. Also, we have the old actor's husband, who is a sympathizer with the Nazi occupiers. Also, we have a clergyman who is a Lutheran, very typical for Norway, but he used to be a Roman Catholic, so that's kind of interesting. And we have a Nazi, a genuine Nazi, whose name is Hansen. And anyway, these are some of our characters. So what happens to get the story going is that the local Nazi of the story orders the young servant woman to leave the house of the woman who was employing her, and instead to go to work for that pastor who used to be a Roman Catholic and is now a Lutheran, and find out about the pastor's politics and report back. So yes, this young serving woman, whose name is Anna, she is now ordered to go and work for the pastor and to report back to the Nazi occupiers about the politics of the pastor. So that's what the story is about. But what the movie is about is, above all, style. The camera moves very, very slowly. The action moves very, very slowly. And what we have here are all kinds of really crucial human issues being raised about the nature of loyalty, the nature of betrayal, the nature of brutality of the Nazis, the nature of victimhood of the Norwegians, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But all of these things being raised in ways which are not full of story and plot and incident and action, rather raised as things for us to think about while we watch the action unfold. Then, near the end of the movie, around, I would say, about maybe the last quarter of it, things take a drastic, radical turn in a different direction. And all of a sudden, we are watching a movie about the making of the movie that we have been watching for approximately the last hour. And that raises a whole other element. It's very postmodern, yes, to use the fashionable term for this sort of thing. But it's also very intriguing and gives you even more to think about than you've had to think about before. So, Rob Tregenza makes movies not to be thrilled to, but to be thought about. And The Fishing Place is very much one of those. Again, he is a gifted cinematographer, and there are times when The Fishing Place is absolutely gorgeous to look at, magnificent wintry landscapes, and one shot with the camera circling around a boat where the color just changes before our eyes in all kinds of flamboyant ways is one of the most stunning shots in recent memory. Beautiful movie to look at. Beautiful movie to think about. Don't go to The Fishing Place if you're looking for action and thrills. Do go if you want to see a thought-provoking, intellectually stimulating movie, which is also magnificent to look at. And that is my somewhat fishy story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Companion, Wildcat, and The Fishing Place.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.